One day I looked over across the into a window of an apartment, and some guy with a gimp mask on had a paddle, and he's staring at me and pointing and then slapping the paddle on the bed with his dick out. He's completely naked.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. I'm Ari Shaffir. On today's episode, I talked to my friend Mike Burns, who was on this podcast back in the Death Squad days. Him, Kanane, and Mike Bridenstine did one about alcoholism, about booze. They're all huge Chicago booze hounds. What's a booze hound? Is that just someone who drinks a lot? Then it's him. If it's somebody who drinks and then... Is it somebody who drinks and then hits on chicks? Is it someone who drinks and then rapes people? Is it like semi-rape? We're like, yeah, I'm a booze hound. Is it one of those 50s terms that we learn later is like completely unacceptable in its base? What if a booze hound meant you get a little tipsy and then... I grabbed some girls. I fingered one or two, but I didn't do anything. Maybe it's one of those people. Is that a booze hound? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this episode should be cool. Kathleen McGee from last week's episode was very happy that she had gone on and told her story about her rape, and she was happy with the response. And the fact that she opened up, and she hadn't done that yet, and she was pleased about it. So thank you for listening and being cool. Couple notes. First of all, I got a cool new sponsor. Fucking Adult Swim is sponsoring me now. That's pretty cool. There's two shows that are trying to get the word out on, and I've seen them both, and they're both awesome. It's Children's Hospitals, which had a new season starting on last Thursday, and when the second episode is this Thursday, so everybody catch up, hurry up, because they do sort of serialize it. They make. Have you guys seen Children's Hospital? It's really funny. Who's in that? Rob Hubel, Lake Bell. She's pretty hot. She used to date Kroll. Who else is in that? Who's that one guy? He had a great show on Fox. Rob Corddry. That's his name. That show on Fox was amazing. What happened to that? It was like a new Get a Life. But Children's Hospital is really funny. You guys should seriously check it out. It's just a knockoff of Grey's Anatomy, but done Adult Swim style. So it's Thursday night at midnight. Check it out. You guys, check it out. Watch last week's episode, however you get that, you know. And then the other one that they're using to sponsor me is NTSF SD SUV. That's Shear's show. That's the one where it's a knockoff of Law and Order, SVU, all that stuff. Man, Adult Swim has some good parody shit. And they're not all cartoons. This is a show isn't a cartoon. Rob Corddry, by the way, dresses up like a weird clown because he can't feel anything because he's constantly losing patience. He's just a clown with blood all over his smock. Legitimate funny shows. Tell you what, I haven't seen the premiere of NTSF SD SUV. It's in San Diego. NTSF. What does it stand for? I'm going to download the first week's episode, and I'll talk about it in the wrap-up. And then also, if Adult Swim is listening to this, bring back Squidbillies. It's so fucking good. Whenever it's coming back, it's not soon enough. What a great show that is. All right, let's go on with the episode then. So, yeah, everybody, watch Thursday at midnight. Thursday night, midnight. Adult Swim. Both shows. Fucking... Children's Hospitals at Children's Hospital and NTSF SD SUV. All right, so yeah, put it on your schedule. Adult Swim. And they don't just do cartoons anymore. You guys know that. But seriously, their cartoons are some of the best they have. Squidbillies and Venture Brothers. Both those better come back. I remember when they switched over. Remember when Adult Swim switched over and they had like, it was those two guys first, Tim and Eric, and they had that halfway show where one of them was the mayor and the other one was, it wasn't Tim and Eric, awesome show, great job. Great job, awesome show, whatever it is. It wasn't that one. It was the other one before. And it was like half cartoon. It was like still, it was still drawings of like guys like Brian Posehn and stuff like that. It was pretty funny. And then they just moved to non-cartoon, which I'm totally down with. It's just I like when you don't get stuck in your format. Although I shouldn't say that because MTV is the same shit. They didn't get stuck in their format. And I kind of hate them now. They're kind of awful. Someone should do a comedy special on MTV, some young kid. And Hardwick, Chris Hardwick should do a special on Adult Swim. If they're looking to do a comedy special, Chris Hardwick or Jonah Ray, something like that. That's an Adult Swim special if it's time. Air it at fucking 1 a.m. No, there's no, then you don't have to worry about, oh, you can't because they have all the good shows that start at midnight. Man, when I had cable, I stay up till 3, it was I'd watch all the Adult Swim shows from midnight to 3. It was like Family Guy. They had the first runs again because they owed so much. Family Guy owed so much to Adult Swim. And then all of them. Then I watched Squidbillies, Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I forget which other, Venture Brothers. And I forget which other ones. They had the 12. And then I even got into Robot Chicken. But man, it was good. And then by 3:15, I'd be like, I'm passing out. I could stay up until the end of Aqua Teen. All right, you guys, let's start the show. Oh, and that other one, they've always had great shows. The Under the Sea show with Chips, the Chips dude. You guys know what I'm talking about. Hey, what happened to my Google search? I'm on the top of my Safari now. It won't. I type in something, and then it just takes me to the Google site, and I have to retype it in. It used to be the search bar, you know, the address bar. I could just type, as long as I didn't put .com in there, it would just do a Google search. It doesn't do that anymore. So in this episode with Mike Burns, we talked about his character that he does on Twitter named Dad Boner. It is one of the funniest characters, pure parody. The only thing I've seen since Angry Batman that had me only laughing. No promotion at all. It's just this character. And this guy, Carl Welzin, or I just thought it was Wazin. He's just this weird, I guess he's like my, he's like what I would be if, and he wrote a book too. That's what he's doing on the show. He's promoting this book. But and you can get the book if you want. And you should. It's funny. And I read passages from it at the show. But this guy is just what I would be if I wasn't a comic. I did this thing once when I was, Bobby Lee and Aaron Kitty still get mad at me about it. And Brian Keith Etheridge. I did this thing when I was like 5 years into comedy where I was just going home for about 3 weeks back to Maryland. I had this scam job that I do where I took trunks and duffel bags up to a sleepaway camp. My dad had gotten into it first. The sleepaway camp, Camp Moshava, no longer offered trunk service, delivery service. They used to put it on the bottom of the buses, and then they stopped doing it. So my dad said, "Fuck it, I'll hire a homeless guy. I'll give him $150 or something to, and then pay for a U-Haul truck. And then instead of buying UPS, we just get a U-Haul truck, and all the shit, everybody's stuff, just gets there all at once. And you unload it right at the camp. You don't have to worry about anybody signing for it. You can almost bring it to every bunk if you want." But we didn't have to do that because the Jew kids would come and just pick up their stuff themselves. They would just grab it from the big pile. They'd be waiting for it too. It was a fun. And then my dad, he did it for a couple of years. Then he handed it to my sister, said, you handle it. And then she upped it from like $15 to like $25 so she can make a little profit. And then all we had to do was pay for gas and the U-Haul. It was pretty fun. And then my sister would make like a bunch of money. She did it for a while, got married, handed it off to me. I did it for like 3 or 4 years. And honestly, it was so profitable that I flew home every year 3 times. So not only to pay for trips home back to Maryland, I still walked for like $4,000 over the summer. So I'd go there, take all the trunks up, then drive the U-Haul back. And then I go there again in between the first and the second month, take all the trunks up, take all the the people in the first month chunks back to Maryland. And then I would go again at the end of the second month, and then I would go up with nothing and go back. And people I hired, I hired Ami Butler to do it once, and he was like, how come I'm only getting $200 for this? And I was like, if you don't want to do it, I can get someone else. You're only getting $200 because it's not your gig. It's my gig, and I'm getting thousands of dollars. And if you don't want to do it, I feel totally fine with you quitting. And I'll find someone else. I'm paying you so much money. Anyway, all we had to do is sit in the car for most of the time. Why was I talking about this? Because I would go home. Oh, yeah. Because I would go home. And then one time, I told everybody that, hey, I'm quitting comedy. I'm out. I'm done. And they're like, what? Why? And I'm like, I just want this normal life. I want softball on Thursdays. I want a happy hour on Wednesdays and Fridays. I want to do what everybody's doing. And I just used my example of what all my friends were doing who had real jobs. And I was just, let me start downloading the show. Okay. And so I told them all I was leaving, and Bobby Lee took it bad. This is when we were still really good friends, before I punched him multiple times. And he was like, why are you doing this? And he tried to talk me out of it, and so did Etheridge, and so did Cater. And I was like, no, guys, I like lying. I like lying when there's no personal gain for it. I don't like lying and saying that, I'm on a new show, and have everyone, like, revere me or like, give me props. I only like lying when it doesn't do anything. Like, oh, I like tomatoes. And people are like, oh, really? Mm-hmm. And then I don't like tomatoes. What do you gain out of that? So I told them I was just going home. Just for fun. Bobby Lee bought me dinner. Then it was bad. Because then I have a moral code about pranks. And the moral code goes like this. That you cannot cause anyone else who you're pranking any physical or monetary damage. That's it. You can fuck with anybody. No physical or monetary damage to them, or it stops being funny. That's kind of my moral code when it comes to pranks. So I was torn when Bobby Lee started buying me a dinner at Mel's. I think him and Cater and I went out. And it was like, goodbye, don't do this, but we, you know, we loved you here. Yeah, and then I was like, ooh, uh-oh, I'm getting into that monetary damage. But Bobby Lee bought me plenty of meals anyway, and he was rich because he was on Mad TV making $5,000 a week and complaining about it, so I didn't mind. Carl Wellzine, this dad boner guy, is that. He is who I'd be if I just never did comedy. He loves going to Applebee's. He loves going to Applebee's. He calls it the bees. Love going to the bees, y'all. He listens to fucking, and that's what all the music is for this episode. It's all Carl's favorite songs. He loves listening to the fucking late 80s, early 80s rock tunes. Kid Rock. He loves Kid Rock because they're both from Michigan probably. And Kid Rock, he's just like, woo. This dude loves happy hour. He's a douche. He's kind of an asshole. But he's kind of like beautiful in his like simpleness. Anyway, you guys will get into it. Follow him on Twitter, @dadboner. He used to have a different picture on there. But the guy he showed a picture of a guy, just a typical looking guy. I don't think we talked about this in the episode. And then he got really popular with this character online. And then the guy found out, the guy whose picture it was, he just downloaded some random picture. He was like, can you stop using my picture or I'm going to sue you? So he had to change it to this cartoon version of Carl Wellzine. The guy, I asked him how old he was, 39 years old. Mike Burns never plays a part in it. If you want to follow Mike Burns, go to Pizza Nachos 69 on Twitter. But he never plays a part in it. It's just this guy, Carl, named Dad Boner, and his life ain't going that good anymore. It started off, you guys can catch up. If you want to catch up, you can just read his straight line, all his posts. There's nothing, and you just find out about his life. It's fucking hilarious. Anyway, you guys, let's start the episode. What? What just happened? What did I just do? Who just said something? I don't know. Hey, I've been using Tinder a lot. I went on my first Tinder date. It's weird, Tinder. It's weird. I should let them sponsor me. Does Tinder sponsor people? Do they make any money? If you guys haven't been there, it's pretty cool. You just I'll talk about it later. But let me do my dates real quick because I don't have a lot of them. This week, starting Wednesday, I'll be in Indianapolis at Crackers in Broad Ripple. I like Crackers, especially the Broad Ripple one. It's not downtown, but it is in the college part of town. And Yats is there, the most amazing Cajun restaurant in Indianapolis that I've been to. I've only been to two. Yachts and Yachts Downtown. So come out, Indianapolis. It's all new material from last time. All new. All this time, that was all stuff I later put in my special. This time, it's the stuff I'll put in my next special or weed out completely because, anyway. Then Boston with Rogan on August 16th. Nashville at that that club. What's it called? The Punchline? I think the Punchline. August 21st and 22nd. That's Wednesday and Thursday. So they're giving me weekdays. So I need everybody to promote to all your friends and come out so it can be worth it me going because they're not giving me a weekend. It's this experiment we're doing with Justin, my agent, where we're just trying to do off days and we're seeing if we can fill it up with fans and not douchebag housewives that are just there because they won free tickets. We're trying to make it cool comedy show and not the problems with clubs. So come out August 21st, 22nd to Nashville. Then August 27th in New York City, I'm doing my storyteller show. Did you guys see the Joey Diaz episode of the This Is Not Happening? You should. Go online right now and I'll put a link to it on my website with the music, with everything else like I always do. I'll put a link to it. But go search Joey Diaz, This Is Not Happening, and you'll see his version of it, of my storyteller show. And then the John Huck one came out last week, as I thought, and that was amazing. So is Joey Diaz's. We still got Segura's to come. We still got Doug Benson's to come. We got like four or five more, and then it's done. So catch up on all of them. Mine, TJ Miller's, Sean Patton's, Kinane's. Man, what a good show this was. I'm really liking that comics are coming up to me and going like, Ari, I saw that show. It's really good. It looks good. It feels good. People who shoot comedy, networks, can you please just listen to me? It's not like I'm brilliant, but I understand that comedy is different than it was in the 90s, and it should be shot differently. Not for everybody, but for some people. So my aesthetic it's a valid aesthetic. Don't shy away from that. Let's not shoot crowd reactions. They're insulting. Let's not do that anymore. They're insulting. You can be glossy if you want for certain things. I think Dane Cook, that type of guy, should shoot in a big theater. That's what he normally does. Rogan now. That's what he normally does. Although I think the heart of Rogan is at a club. If you get a chance to see Rogan at a club, that's where you see him. Not a giant venue like the one we're doing in Boston. It's cool. I mean, you get a lot of people in all at once. It's not as fun an experience for me. If I'm watching, I'd rather watch at a club. If I see Sebastian Maniscalco at a club, there's not many times I'll laugh harder than that. So the 27th, we're doing a storyteller show at the Village Underground. It's the Comedy Cellar's sister club around the corner, downstairs from the Fatback Pussycat or whatever that rock venue is. They built another one. They open up a comedy club on Fridays and Saturdays, but it's just a stage. It looks like the Comedy Cellar, and then it seats 200 seats. So the link will be up this week on Laughstub, and we'll put a link to it on the Comedy Cellar website. I'll tweet about it, but so far it's me and Robert Kelly, and then we're going to try to get a whole bunch more people. But regardless of who we get, Big J, Kurt Metzger, Colin Quinn, Norton, whomever we get, the show's going to be amazing. They're always amazing, and it's the first time I'm doing it in New York City. So it's going to be a $5 ticket. Hopefully Laughstub won't be douches about it and charge a $3 service charge. Hopefully they'll just be cool and do like $1. I'm just splitting the money up. I'm not doing the charity thing because it's too hard. Did you guys hear what happened with last time? The charity we all did the shows for in L.A., Planned Parenthood, wouldn't take my money. They wouldn't take it. I'll talk more about it later, but wouldn't take my money. They said, no thanks, we don't want it from you. I never got a real response to them. What's up, Planned Parenthood? So we're just doing it for us. We're all going to split the money. So no way Laughstub can take, if we're all taking a buck each from people, no way Laughstub's taking three. They'll get one or we're not doing it with them. That's fair. I'm thinking this out in my head. I'm sure they'll be cool. I'm already like, they're not going to be cool. Laughstub is cool. They're a cool company. If you don't know about them, head over there. They have algorithms which help you find your favorite comics. So if you already like Stanhope, you know, or better yet, if you like someone like Rogan, it'll also tell you when Stanhope's in town. It'll be like, hey, you might like this as well. Things like that. So that's August 27th in New York City. In Madison, September, I got Madison, Wisconsin, Comedy on State. Calgary, Yuck Yucks, and that is it for that. Let's start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, oh, a rat walked in my foot. I'll talk about it next week. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 125. Back to just Ari fucking around with comedians. It's Dad Boner with Mike Burns. I was going to say Carl Wolzheim, but no, with Mike Burns, Pizza Nachos 99 on Twitter. Enjoy the episode, everybody. Here's how it starts. It starts with us just talking about Dad Boner, and then it just goes to us. We took a break. He got so tired of doing interviews all the time. We took a break while the fix-it guy was in my apartment, the handyman. After the break, I was like, all right, I can't get anything more out of him from Dad Boner. He was worn out. So let's just talk about chicks. And we did, and that's always interesting. So we got like last 30 minutes is that. So enjoy, you guys. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 125. Oh, and last thing, the Skeptic Tank t-shirts are available now online. If you go, the pre-order is available to August 1st, which means you have 2 days to get a pre-order. And for pre-order, you also get a free 5-pack of Skeptic Tank t-shirts. And they're for sale for $5 if you don't want to get a t-shirt. But Skeptic Tank t-shirts are finally out. They look really cool. Monica Ikaboot drew it. She's a CalArts graduate. Congratulations. It's cool. And it's American Apparel t-shirts, so I paid an extra fucking $250 a shirt. Did not pass that on to you. So I'm not making that much off them, but I'm making some. So get them for $20, $5 shipping, 10 international. Pre-order now, and you get a free 5-pack of stickers. Ladies and gentlemen, go to my website to do that. That's also where all my dates are, arishafir.com. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 125, Dad Boner with Mike Burns. It was summertime in northern Michigan. Yeah, it was cool. We went to Alaska. We've been trying to plan it for like a long time.
So much fun.
It was. Have you ever done anything like that?
I've never done one of those things, no. Like a hunting or a fishing trip, like real shit, yeah. You know? Never done that.
He went and hunted like caribou in the Badlands or something where like Jesus. They had to hunt for like 3 days to try to like
to find more
track
things.
It and find it.
Yeah.
Oh, here's the... What's it called, guy? Hold on. Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
I'm actually here, and just, the owner, the person managing the bar, wanted to call my owner to friend before she would let me actually take it, so, I suspect I'm gonna have it here in like a couple minutes.
Okay, alright, let me know.
Alright?
Alright. This guy canceled on me twice, but didn't tell me, he just didn't show up. So I'm like, alright, I'm done waiting for you.
Yeah. Well, it's your handyman who wants his ladder back, correct?
It's not the guy who works here. It's not like the superintendent. Oh. It's just somebody who's going to install a TV, like a mount, and then do the drapes. He just didn't show twice.
Weird.
Then he texted me yesterday. He's like, can I come tomorrow? I'm like, fuck. All right. I don't. Yeah, fine. I never want to give people like a lesson.
Yeah.
I want to be like, sorry, you blew it. But then at the same time, I'm too lazy to actually call another guy.
Right. You so just like, wait.
Yeah, fine. Come over. How'd you like New York so far?
It's great.
Yeah?
I mean, it's been a really productive trip.
Fuck yeah, I assume so. You know, Huffington Post, Bloomberg TV, what else you do? The show was amazing.
I don't even remember most of them. But yeah, I've done a bunch of little sit-downs. I had some decent meetings. I set up with people that have offices here. So yeah. Those were good.
I went to some office, but it's only on like one of the high floors, and I just saw like in the buildings next to it all those gargoyles.
Yeah, the it's real like, ones. Yeah, that's a real thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Why do they make those?
They protect the building
from like evil spirits.
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, for real?
That's
what they
put in? For real. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I could see that. People in the 30s and shit.
Uh huh.
Because there's no like it doesn't serve any purpose.
No, but they're so cool.
Like, they're really
like,
cool.
It's like holy shit, those are real. You know?
Yeah. They look ornate. They're not just like a blob of it. It's like
it makes you want. To own a home like that so you could have gargoyles, like real ones. How badass is it?
Have you seen that place in Venice? It's like right off the beach, like a block off the beach. There's a house. It's not like a haunted house, but it's this house is just built up with gargoyles and like demons on top of it.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
so like Rob Zombie lives there or something.
Something. I don't know who lives there, but someone
probably
cool.
Someone like that probably lives there.
Maybe Billy Zombie, his brother. Mm-hmm.
Bill Zombie.
Yeah, that show is amazing, dude.
Those.
For people who don't know, you do Dad Boner, you do Carl Wiesen.
Yeah, Wellzine.
Wellzine, sorry.
No, everyone pronounces it a different way. But yeah, the book Power Moves is out, and it's done really, really well.
Yeah.
It's done better than I thought, you know, better than my expectations.
What do you mean? How much of it did you do?
I wrote it all.
Yeah, so what do you mean it's done better?
No, I just, the sales numbers.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know any hard numbers whatsoever, but I can just tell by the reaction of people that they really, really liked it.
Yeah.
There's a couple, once in a while, handful of people that'll be like, this is the same shit rehashed. And
oh, right.
Well, it kind of is, but the story's good, and I want it to be a book, so now it's a book.
Yeah, you know? Burr has that same problem. Like, you said something like this on your podcast. And he goes, yeah, I thought of it, and then I made it way better and made material out of it.
Right. Now it's a book that you get to hold and read, and it's a story from fucking like 3 years ago that was on Twitter once. So,
oh right,
you know,
almost everybody's not going to know that,
right? And the whole point of the book wasn't to necessarily be for just Twitter followers. I wanted people that have never heard of it to be able to pick it up and have it be.
Yeah, all I remember is that you were doing it. I didn't realize how popular it had become.
It took off.
Those people were fans.
They're fans, and that all goes back to the Twitter feed being only serving the purpose of being a story. There's no ads or retweets. I've never retweeted or added
anybody
or replied to anybody ever.
You don't even retweet like someone he would be into, like Van Halen?
Nope. It's not part of it. He's not on Twitter. It's He's just not on Twitter. Yeah.
All right.
It's like the analogy I always use is you don't watch Cheers and then Sam Malone doesn't turn to the camera and be like, hey, I'm on TV, I'm Sam. You know, he's not on TV. It's a fishbowl. You're just looking into
it. Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. And when he addresses people with you guys, but that's the same thing as Dear Diary. This is just this guy's journal.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fans are amazing, great people.
They line up for books for like an hour.
They get the book signed. They have fun. They do exactly what I would want. You know
what I mean?
Like they operate in a capacity like I would operate if I would be a fan of what I make. You know, write something that I like. I would like to go to that show. It's filled with funny, dirty dick joke shit. It's always curated. I handpick everyone, so I have an eclectic group of comedians and people that I admire or are friends of mine and that are on the show. And everyone is encouraged to get drunk on beer and laugh, and we play classic rock songs loud.
You're like, we're going to be smashed by the end of this. I was like, yeah, we might be, and we will. I just started going on town in those Modelos or whatever they were.
We had big Tecates.
Tecates, the 40. And they had those small ones right next to it, and I like grabbed one of those at first. And I was like, what? Ugh, why would these even be in here?
Yeah, we were at the Bell House, which is a great venue.
Yeah.
Super nice. And you know, that's most venues don't do that. They was like, hey, do you want a pallet of beer? Like,
What does it cost them? $25, $30?
Tops.
Yeah, and it's
sold your venue
experience better.
And that was that place completely impressed me with how well it was run.
Yeah.
Just in general.
Oh, because you had pause before. Hold on, I gotta talk to him again.
Go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Hey, it's in hand. I'm almost there.
Okay, just buzz. I'll let you in.
What's the buzzer?
Oh, number C.
And what's the address?
Number C.
It's hang on. I remember now to pause it. I paused it for a second. I was about to reveal just all my info, and I never like edit these, so it just would have been there.
It's such a hassle.
Oh, such a hassle.
Yeah.
Like Sklar Brothers, they edit the fuck out of theirs.
It's a nightmare. Well, they take
you still do yours, gentlemen? Scumbags?
No, we haven't done it. I just hadn't have time. You know, we didn't have this capacity. I had to get in the car and drive to Burbank and go to the studio to Patrick Melton's, which he has
to let him melt down while you're doing it.
Right, but beautiful studio.
Oh yeah,
and it was fun, and it felt like I enjoyed going there, and I felt like I was doing a real radio show. But I don't like your setup is ideal because you just carry this thing just wherever you'd like and boom. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it on planes before.
That's what I want to do next. I want to acquire this equipment so that me and Brido can just do it at home.
Yeah.
Because then I can just sit there. You can knock them out.
Also, it's like, it's 11:45. Like, hey, you want to do one right now?
Yeah, get it over with.
Okay. And then you just do one before midnight starts and then you just
get it in the can.
Yeah, then you're done. It doesn't matter. I did one with Duncan on the way down to like Brea Improv or something.
It's great. And you
let's use this time.
You're going to get a different dynamic, too.
Oh, yeah. They're fun, too, when they're out on the streets and stuff. Yeah. Me and Big J did one, and we saw, like...
You're talking about things you're looking at.
Yeah, we saw people fucking in the window.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's just do that.
Wow.
Yeah. Benson and I did one from, like...
Were they hot?
The girl was. The guy who couldn't see that much.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, it was better. She did most of the writing, but occasionally he would turn around and be from behind.
Sure.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
It really was. It was fun.
Really great.
That's one of the things I got to get into more here is looking in windows.
They're totally fucking.
Yeah.
I had a moment when I lived here. I lived on Manhattan and Nassau in Brooklyn. And I would sit, I had these big bay windows in my bedroom, and I had a couch that I had facing outward. And I'd sit there like it was my porch and drink beer.
Just there.
And just
people.
Look out the windows and smoke cigarettes. It was fantastic. And one day I looked over across into a window of an apartment, and some guy with a gimp mask on had a paddle, and he's staring at me and pointing and then slapping the paddle on the bed with his dick out. He's completely naked, and he's just bang bang and looking at me like pointing for me to come over.
Whoa.
He must have watched me sit there for the good better part of 2 years, just smoking my cigarettes, hanging out, and like probably watched me jerk off a bunch.
Did you jerk off to people?
No, not to people.
Just through
your
window.
Who knows? I probably jerked off.
And the same things you were looking at. He was looking at you.
I certainly had sex with women with the windows open.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't ever really get drunk or whatever, and didn't think about it. This guy probably watched me do some strange things and thought that I would also be into this. And the next day I walked by that apartment and he was gone. It was empty.
What?
So this was the guy moved. This was his last ditch effort. Like, fuck it. I'm moving. I want to see if this guy, fuck this guy. And I was fucked up and tired, but I remember, and really exhausted when I saw this. And I had one of those moments where I just felt dark inside. Like, I felt like, I don't want to live in New York anymore. I don't want to be here anymore. And I was in a bad spot, personally. I was just drinking too much. I wasn't sleeping. I was probably doing drugs I shouldn't. And I had that moment of, well, fuck, man. Maybe I should just go over there and let this guy fuck me in the ass. Like,
paddle the fuck out
just,
of-
maybe I deserve it. Here, fucking fuck me. I'm trash now. I'm trash. I fuck gimp mask guys now. I'm garbage people. And I blocked that out. I just remembered that.
Really?
I think I've maybe told one other person.
He was staring right at you. Definitely.
Oh, it was me. There was no mistaking what he was looking at, and it was me.
Nice.
And it was weird, a weird hour, too. It was like 3:45 in the morning.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I look at this garden outside.
Yeah.
And I stare at people sometimes when they're just
more pleasurable.
On their phones. Yeah, they're not doing really weird things. All right, we'll pause it for a second. Jesus. And then we'll go to the bedroom while this guy fixes my shit. All right, we're off. I'll close this a little bit. Yeah, I do them at the patio of the Comedy Store, too, as these trucks come by.
Yeah.
You can't even really hear them.
So weird.
Yeah. These are so directional. Yeah, you got to get this. If you and Bride will start doing one again, that'd be rad. That was a fun one.
Yeah, I really liked it. It turned out really well. It had a theme, and it had things. You know, it had catchphrases.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, the show's format was at the top, we would say our biggest scumbag moment of the week. And that would be the time like, well, I shit at the Arby's parking lot. You know, like, and it was always because you always did. You always
there was
do
something horrible.
It's
of
never
the week.
Something that bad, but you always do one like really shitty thing, like I jerked off looking at a couple having sex out the window. You know,
yeah.
Or
those are tough.
And then we had
time to admit this.
Yeah, it was. It's just you'd save it. And you're like, oh, here's my moment. Because you'd do something and then you'd feel bad about it, but then you'd have the moment of, well, that's my scumbag moment, so that's out of the way. You felt like you wrote something. Or
like you're being productive.
I think sometimes we would just do. You'd be like, I shouldn't do that. I'm like, yeah, but
I need a moment.
BSM dub, and you'd be like, yeah, all right. And then we'd have a crybaby sissy boy moment of the week, where you were just a bitch about something.
Like, I like those.
Like,
what'd you have for those?
I don't know. It's just what. Sometimes it was something frivolous, or sometimes it was like, well, after a show, someone said, looks like you were having fun up there. One of those bullshit like compliments, and usually I don't care, but it just really hurt my feelings. I was in the car on the way home after my show, just sad. This is like my girlfriend wanted to blow me, but I didn't want it because I was like, I'm not in the mood. Why? Sad because my set wasn't good. You know, like
that's a great like having both those together. Some horrible degenerate moment versus some.
Right,
pansy moment.
That's like that's gentleman scumbag. Oh, everything is always the dichotomy of things.
You ever get so not in the mood for sex for like not depression, but like for some reason, like say a real bad set,
jerked off too much, and but
like,
yeah,
and then just like honestly, I'm not even gonna get hard for
it's,
you right
it's
now.
It's really weird. Yeah. It's a weird thing when that starts to happen. I don't know if it's an age thing.
Maybe it's age because I feel like once you get laid enough times, you're like, oh, this isn't that big a deal.
Right,
still fun.
It's not like you don't like frame the picture anymore. It's just it's nice.
Yeah,
you know what you're doing at this point.
Right,
but
I've been able to turn down like flirtations from like friends' exes.
Yeah,
and before I don't know if I'd be able to, but now it's like it's probably not a good idea. Not to.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's a sign of maturity is when you actually turn things down that you shouldn't do.
Yeah.
Like you know what. We're kind of friends, and it's just not. I don't want to ruin our friendship. Yeah, I really
don't.
Seems
so foreign.
I really don't want to ruin it. I don't want things to be weird.
Yeah.
Your pussy is not worth the weirdness.
Yeah.
It's not an insult to you. It's more me than you.
Sometimes an insult to them, too, where I'm like, you know, I wanted you for a long time, but you're 35 now. And I wanted you when you were 25 and hotter.
Oh, Jesus.
So, just another pull it used to. So, how long did you live in New York for?
4 years.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
As a comic.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great.
Up and stuff.
I got up a ton.
Yeah,
constantly.
A lot of that.
Yeah. Certain point, it's just you go up so much that I feel like it starts to not be special.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much material in New York just living here.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the other day. I was walking through Hell's Kitchen by my hotel, and it was a super hot day, and like just simple things. I saw a girl with a I Heart Justin Bieber hoodie sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
And it's like
it's a big purchase.
Well, it's hot as fuck out.
Oh,
and that pissed me
here.
Off. Why? Yeah, why are you wearing a hoodie?
It was 93.
90. I'm soaked with sweat. I'm like, you really wanted to wear that, and you wore it. And I was like, I thought if I lived here, I'd have two sets tonight. I'd probably do 5 minutes on this girl and do a rant on stupid fucking sweat and what you know and this
just
and
stuff
this.
You see
on just stuff you'd
yeah.
see. And that I'd never do it again. Oh. So I was just constantly not building on that set that was for television.
Why didn't you do it again then? It was just in the
you
moment.
You see new stuff. You can only go up so much.
Yeah.
You're constantly generating material. So it's like I want to do that, work that joke and get it, make it really well done. But you're like, I saw 10 more things today. I want to talk about those.
Just move on. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that. I noticed this habit I might get into of like just like running a set over and over again instead of like working on a set.
Right.
Instead of like, I need to tweak this or I need to change this word or something.
You're just like, yeah, it's good enough.
Yeah, but it's not good enough.
Right.
It's wasting time.
It's like a six. It could be a 10.
Yeah, it's like a six.
Not a six.
Even
a six.
Six
is okay.
A really well rehearsed
six. And you're just
six.
Like, yeah, this is just how this joke is. It's like, no, that's your fault. You can fix the joke. You're a seasoned comedian.
That's what Madrigal always said. He was like watching like Ren and Zizi once or something.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, he's just not doing, there's a better place to go than this. Like you need to go further. Not like whatever angle Ren and Zizi had, he was like, that's fine, but just go. I'm like, do you ever do that?
Yeah.
Sit at home and like pick out your weaknesses? And he goes, that's all I do every day.
Wow.
And I was like, please don't look at me because I don't ever.
Well, people are.
I tried after that a little bit, but yeah.
I love Al. Al is great. Like. The dichotomy of how he is in person as opposed to his stand-up is very different.
Well, he's also like a really calm person, but then he gets super Mexican angry sometimes.
Yeah, he's great.
He's got that in him.
I love him.
Yeah, and you're like, what? Where did that guy come from?
It's like, oh, yeah, you're got an ass-kicking fire inside of you.
No, I'm fine. I just want to stab him. And I'm thinking of doing it. Let's get a knife.
But also, he's got a big, nice, warm smile, and is a nice dude.
Yeah.
Super funny. But yeah.
Did you move to New York in that big migration? The former Chicagoans?
No, I jumped ship first, for the most part. I left. I think that Pete Holmes was here first. In New York.
Okay.
And I moved... Or was he? I'm not positive. I think he may have moved after me. I'm pretty sure.
To New York, you mean?
Out of my group of guys, I'm pretty sure I was the first.
To go to L.A.?
To go to New York.
Oh, okay. And then I meant the migration to L.A.
Most of them went to L.A.
It was a big, like, Patton, Holmes, you and Brito. Yeah.
Sean Patton was New York.
Oh, really?
Sean Patton is New Orleans, then New York.
Oh, wow.
And he lived in my apartment where I saw the Gimp Mask guy. He lived in my room after I left. He took my bedroom over, yeah.
And he never saw him. Fuck, I wish he would have talked to that guy.
I know.
Would have loved to hear what he had to say.
I don't know. I think he just was really super horny. He was cleaning up his shit, packing his things.
Was he fucking with you? Was there any chance he was just like, let me fuck with this guy who's been staring out the window for 2 years?
I don't know, man. He seemed like he was really into it.
Worked up the courage.
I think his dick was out. It was some serious shit.
You ever see Happiness?
Yes.
Remember when he works up the courage to go over to talk to that girl, and then he finally does, and he didn't know what to say?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it was one of those. Maybe. He finally got up like, okay.
What if I came over there? He'd be like, so, want a beer?
No, I meant the migration to L.A. Did you go away before everybody else?
No, they went to L.A. I chose New York first, and then I was like, I should just come and join you. Construction.
Hopefully, this will still be all right.
No. It's just, as long as we address it, it's not weird.
Yeah, somebody installing a mount for my TV now.
Right. He's going into some pretty stiff wall.
Yeah, I think it's brick right after that.
Yeah. It's going in pretty easy, though. It's a nice drill.
Hey, here's what I really want to talk to you about a long time ago, about your stabbing.
Yeah.
What happened there? Because it seems like you get out of New York, it's way safer.
Fucking nightmare. I was at a
what neighborhood? Eagle Rock, Silver Lake?
It was in a weird bug on there. What is that? Is that a bug or is that just something drifting in the wind?
Oh yeah, it's just dust.
Weird.
Yeah, I'm not a sweeper.
Strange. Oh, it's just strange. I was in Echo Park, or more accurately, historic Filipino town.
Okay.
And I had left the bar with a girl, and we were parked.
Oh, you were with a chick?
Mm-hmm. Parked in her car, and we had the sunroof open, and we were just making out in her car. And all of a sudden, a knife came through the sunroof.
Went in from the top?
Top, yeah. Think how low a car is. You can just reach your hand right in there. Put the knife up to her throat.
From the roof?
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a lot of arm angle.
No, if you go stand by a car, you'd see how easy you can do it.
Okay, I will.
Knife straight down at her.
Put the knife to her throat.
Yeah, it's like, get the fuck out, give me your car, give me your money, or whatever. And I got out. Like, that was my instinct, was don't be in this car with this happening.
Okay.
And I got out and scuffled with him.
What?
I got out and fought with the guy. Yeah.
You weren't like, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my instinct would have been, I don't know what it would have been, actually.
My instinct was to get out and get away to a certain extent, but I didn't. I got about 5 feet away from the car and turned back around. In my brain, like, we were all going,
like, no.
You know, in my brain, I was like, I don't know. I don't know what my thought process was, but it was get out of this car.
Yeah.
And then I turned around. I'm like, oh, well, no, that's still going. So I'm going back.
Which
now.
Side was he standing on?
Driver's side.
Okay.
I go back to the car.
Were you like, pardon me, as you open the door?
No. It was very, very quick. And then I scuffled with the guy enough that I had completely shredded my pants. Like, my knees, the sides of my pants were all fucked up.
Wait, with the knife? So you just went after him? And
no, it wasn't going at. It was him taking swakes, you know, swipes at me with the knife.
Oh,
stabbing at me, and telling me to give me my phone and my wallet.
And what I took did the chick do?
She got out of the car, and another guy that was hiding behind the car got on her with another knife.
Oh, that's a solid move. That's a good smart
backup
solid
knife
move.
Guy.
Yeah. I'll be here if you need me.
Finally, fucking, at some point, got my back to him, and he stabbed me twice in the back. And
like it went straight in?
Yeah, stab, stab, inch from my spine. And I turned around and I was like, "What the fuck? You fucking stabbed me? Are you serious?" like, "What the fuck, dude?" And I just feel my back get hot and wet.
Oh, from the blood.
Yeah.
And this stuff. Wow.
And you know, it hurt.
It didn't hurt.
It did. Okay. It was like hot. It didn't hurt.
Did you feel it going in?
It was very, very quick, and then wetness. And I was like, "Uh-oh." You know, I'm like, "Really, dude? You fucking stabbed me?" And I said that to him. And then I started yelling, and the girl got out and was like, "What the fuck?" and freaked out and took her purse and just threw it at one of the guys and just like, "Get the fuck out of here." And they both took off. I called
with the car?
No, they did not. They did not take the car. They ran. And
was it that moment at all?
Cops came, ambulance.
Hold on. I want to ask this first. I only saw this like in like 21 Jump Street episodes and stuff, mm-hmm. where like someone will shoot a teacher, yeah. and then immediately they realize they went too far, and they're like, "Oh, was there any of that in his face?"
That's very possible. Yeah, I think there was a little bit of that.
Okay,
like you could have just murdered me,
and he's like,
you know?
"Ooh, I just wanted a car."
Yeah,
for the night.
Well, I don't even know if they wanted the car; they just wanted the money, I think. But
so then you went to the hospital.
Cops show up, and the cops want me to get in the ambulance, and I don't want to because I know it'll cost money, and I don't have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, "Can't you guys just give me a ride to the hospital? Like, you're the police. I'm stabbed. Can you just drop me off?" And they won't do it because of legal reasons. They would have just rather had me just die on the side of the road.
Have to fill out the paperwork.
Then have to fucking deal with it. So I'm like, "Do I really have to get in the ambulance?" I take my shirt off, and I show it to Brido, Mike Bridenstine, who came down. We were outside of our apartment. He was upstairs. I'm like, "Come down. I got fucking jacked." And he goes, "Do I have to go to the hospital? I'll ask your serious opinion." And he looks at it. He goes, "Dude, it looks like you have a vagina on your back. Get in the fucking ambulance."
Wow.
And I did. We strapped me on the board and put me on the gurney and, you know, took fun pictures for Facebook that we immediately put up.
Yeah,
you know?
You knew you were okay?
No, I just didn't care that. I just didn't give a fuck, to be honest. I don't know. I just didn't care. I just didn't care about a lot of things at that point in my life. I was just like, "Fuck it, I don't know, I got stabbed now, what the fuck, who cares?"
Oh, was shit going bad or something?
Yeah, just living on a couch. And like,
oh, right.
I knew I wasn't dead, but I was concerned that it had hit a artery, and they didn't know that, or they didn't know, not an artery, a organ. They gave me a CAT scan when I went to the hospital, and...
And it missed everything.
Missed everything, yeah. Could have put me in a wheelchair.
How deep did it go in?
The knife was about yay long, I'd say. So
a couple inches?
Much, yeah. Right into the...
Wow.
Yeah.
How... was I just going to ask you?
They stapled me up.
Really?
Yeah. It was fun. They're like, "Do you want to numb it?" I'm like, no. Because we had fun with it. I'm like... Like, let's tape this.
Right,
let's have me just get me stapled with no anesthesia or whatever, or local anesthetic. And I just like,
how much did that hurt? Yeah,
it hurt.
Did you get I would have wanted a stick to bite down on, yeah, like in the old Western days.
It was funny. And then we went home, and
night.
Oh, right after I was done. Yeah,
they were just like, "You're fine."
We took a cab home, and we split a bottle of whiskey and drank a 6-pack. And
they give you drugs at
all?
A ton
of cigarettes. No,
they didn't even give you like.
I went home and got drunk like an idiot. It's unbelievable. Like,
how much did the ambulance cost?
You know what? They have some sort of program with like the USC hospital I was at, and the whole thing ended up costing me like $200.
That's not terrible.
No, not at all.
I mean, for a ride though, it's a lot.
A couple thousand. Yeah.
You're like, what really? How am I? Yeah. Why do you have to pay for that?
I don't know. Because they're private companies. They're privatized.
Oh, right. Somebody's got
to
pay them.
And they have to be liable, and they have to have...
If they do something wrong, they get sued.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
But, and I'm sure they jack the price up.
$200's not terrible. I've heard like 1,000.
Well, the thing is they can kind of set the price because...
What, are you going to negotiate and go get another company?
Yeah. If you need an ambulance, you need the ambulance.
Yeah.
And it's more than a grand. I think it's a couple grand now.
Really?
It used to be 1,000, but that was probably like...
And insurance pays for that, but what insurance does is say, well, it's deductible. So you have to pay the first $500.
They'll have some deal.
But then they go, there's an ambulance deductible, and there's also a hospital deductible.
Right.
And there's a surgery deductible.
Right.
I had knee surgery. I had to stay in the same spot. They're like, no, the pre-op is in a different – it was a different floor.
Jesus.
Like, what?
That's awful.
That's what a scam, you guys. Come on. I never cash in.
It's all a scam.
Just pay for it once. So how long till you were out of the hospital right then? Were you walking around? When's the next time you did a set?
God, I would say – week or two before I did a set.
Gersh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just, it was a mess. I just lay there and hurt because your muscles get really, really sore when you have an injury like that.
Did it get all black and blue all the way around it?
I don't recall if it did.
It's back, so you can't see it.
Yeah, I would have seen it. I just remember having to have my bandages changed, and so it didn't get infected, and it just really, really hurt. Like it felt like I got hit with a baseball bat, you know, on top of the stab hole.
Did you ever consider asking Bridenstine for a sponge bath?
No, I think I had a lady friend who changed my wounds for me.
Did that have any effect on you at all, like mentally after that?
You know, it did.
Like, I don't believe in epiphanies.
I don't think it did.
It seems like those would be times.
It did not have a big effect on me.
You were just like, okay.
I had a moment where I thought, like, I did have that, you know what, this would be a good chance for you to really clean your life up. This would be the time, really cut it down on the booze, maybe quit smoking, you know.
Yeah.
You almost died, so let's not push it. And I didn't. I did not.
You did not do any of that, put it into play.
Didn't. Oh, and then, fuck. Like, 2 months ago, I had a blood clot in my leg.
Just genetically,
yeah.
You just got that
hereditary, yeah. Which
how'd you find that?
My leg got really, really sore, and it felt like someone hit it with a bat. You know, like it was. I thought I ripped it a calf muscle on the treadmill, and I had been making strides to be a better person at that point. I really was making trying to quit smoking. I was cutting my booze down. I was still falling off the wagon and getting shithouse drunk.
Occasionally,
yeah.
Drunk when you get drunk. How long has the blood thinners been going on?
Since then. 2 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you just, booze was like a big part of your life.
Yeah, it was kind of it starts to become part of a persona. And it's never actually been like a problem. You know, right. I've never been an alcoholic. I could just not drink. But I come from a grouping of people.
Drinking, right.
You know my pals, yeah. And you know how we like beer.
They're
and
all
booze.
That's all the Chicago guys. I used to have a theory don't drink with a Canadian
because
they have a better tolerance than you do.
Yeah,
but now it's Canadian and Chicago.
It's how we started. You know, it was just part of our, I guess, culture to do stand up comedy. That
Hannibal,
way.
Pete, yeah. Brido, you, yeah. Nick Craig, all those people.
Kyle
oh,
Bronger.
Fuck. Yeah,
yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm Bronger too.
Big drinkers.
God.
Yeah.
I remember being at Montreal 1 year and having to, I bought a bunch of six pack because they had those fridges in the room. And I know the bar closed at 2.
Yeah.
So I just bought a six pack and kept it upstairs.
Uh-huh.
So when they closed, I'm like, all right, I can have two more beers and so can two of my friends.
Right.
And then, but I saw Bronger and I don't know how to pop open those Heineken bottles with the
lighter.
Yeah. I just don't know how to do it. I was I didn't even have to ask if he could. I was like, Bronger, do this for me.
Uh-huh.
He's like, okay.
Bang.
Just
popped
it
open. Open.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're a man. That's nice.
So. Yeah, I really did. And then that was my come to Jesus moment. That was my...
When you had to?
I haven't had a cigarette in 2 months. I'm completely cold turkey. I'll never smoke again.
You think so?
Absolutely. 100%.
That's weird thing.
I just...
It's tough for me to believe people when they say that. Because have you ever said that and then fallen back?
No. No? I've never said that. And I won't. You know, it's bad for me. As someone with that sort of issue, it's like...
There's more stakes than just possible cancer.
Right, it's bad. Like you don't
really
want...
smoking, it fucks up your blood clots.
Blood clots. You know, the blood gets clotted and it gets stuck in us, and you don't want thinner veins. You know, you want things moving to an extent. You don't want. Looks good.
Yeah,
your TV's on the wall.
Oh yeah, very nice. Oh. Yeah, so that's pretty cool, man.
I think that's a great spot.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
That looks awesome. Fucking corner. Fuck yeah.
No, I think that's good.
Over there, and then watch both ways.
I think that's good.
Yeah. Let's do the blinds. All right. Let me put this on pause for a second.
There's a place where people smile big, eat good, and always score a sweet deal. It's got to be Applebee's. What makes a honey of a deal? Our amazing new honey pepper sauce. It makes honey grilled chicken and honey pepper steak a taste of honey heaven. Throw in our famous riblets, now honey barbecue style, and you'll know why. It's got to be Applebee's.
To finish it, but now we do.
Knock it out.
Yeah.
I don't know where you want all this stuff,
Harry. I'll take care of the trash. It ain't that big a deal. Yeah, just Lord.
Put it in your trash collection.
It'll stay here for like 6-7 months, and then I'll take it out.
Uh huh.
I'm a slob. I'm trying here. I'm trying in New York to be like cleaner.
Yeah, you start fresh.
Yeah, start fresh. That's a big thing.
Just get a new place, start fresh.
Like switching high schools in 12th grade.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
It'll be cool for at least a little while.
Until they find out the real me. Right. That you're not cool. It's not just about your past.
Right.
It's because you're a dork.
Yeah, they know.
Yeah. Wait, how do you this podcast doesn't have to be about anything. How do you go up to girls at bars? Like, what's your fucking deal?
I'm not that type of person.
You don't normally do it.
Oh, absolutely not.
Nick Youssef knows how to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how? Just do it. I'm like, not just do it. That's not a good enough.
Yeah, I don't have a problem doing it.
Yeah.
It's just not my thing to do. It's not always my agenda. Like, I'm not at the bar to pick up women.
I know, but then you get drunk and
get horny.
And drunk.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, if the things happen, they happen. You just kind of have to naturally almost.
So how do you meet girls then?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess you dated a lot of comics too.
I've dated some. But yeah, the girl that I've been dating, I met as a civilian in real life, and it's been a little refreshing change, yeah.
I've gone on one date in 14 years that wasn't because of comedy.
Wow. Yeah, most things stem from comedy. That's why I'm out in the world, is I'm probably doing comedy of some capacity.
Yeah, but nobody, like, chefs don't meet people who, like, eat at their place, right? They meet, they have regular, like, writers, like, you know, whatever it is. Like, they have accountants.
Well, do you do online dating?
No, but somebody said I should start trying to do that, especially here. I'm a little lonely in New York.
I'll tell you what. I've never done it.
It's got this,
because I haven't.
How old are you?
It's not 37.
I'm 39. So it had that stigma when we were little.
It is gone.
It's gone,
my friend.
Yeah.
If you want to go Dirtbag City and crush some pussy, just go on.
Really?
Getamatch.com. Okay, Cupid's okay. It's a little scummier and it's free. Match, because you're paying for it, shows you mean it. And some girls just want to go on a date and have sex. In New York. Yeah. Even more so, women want to have sex here.
They do?
Oh, my God.
It's a problem. I was raised on network TV, so I always assume they're not going to. They're just like...
Uh-uh. You know what? That is such a misconception.
It's in my
DNA,
though.
Girls are lonely.
Yeah, I guess so. Just like we are.
Just like we are. It's just nice to have a connection. It's not even about fucking. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just holding hands on the inside, you know, just for one night.
Also, I need, like, literally physical... Connection. To someone. Just can be like, oh, I needed that.
I'm lonely, and I'm like you. It's like a shitty 80s rock ballad, but it is, let's just use each other for tonight.
Yeah.
And, or vice versa. And, yeah. But
did you get a lot when you were here?
Did I?
Yeah.
I've always done okay. You know, I've
heard the term swimming in pussy before. Not about you, but about New York.
I've never gone without, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's how I am too, where it's like, I mean, maybe a month or two sometimes, but not crazy.
Yeah. Even that, that's rough.
That is rough.
A month or two is rough.
I feel bad, though, complaining to people if I've gone like 3 weeks without getting laid.
I go like 2 weeks without complaining.
It's been like 3 weeks, and they're like, shut your fucking mouth.
Yeah. 2 weeks, I start to get like, this is bullshit. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
You get in a rhythm. You find your rhythm, you feel like you fall off. You're like, you get worried. What happened?
You'll never... get this again.
Ever again. Maybe ever again. Where's my next meal? But I've been having a pretty normal, stable relationship lately, and I like it. It's been really refreshing.
Yeah.
Normal dating, like not like initial, like a lot of times I'll have a new lady friend and it's just like, I'm so into you and you're with them all the time, and then it burns out.
Oh yeah, it definitely does that a lot.
And I had this, and lately I've had a hey, let's see each other like once, and then like a week goes by, 2 weeks, and then the second time we'd hang out and so forth and so on, and then you know, we're both busy, and that's totally cool. Right. I'll see you later.
I like that, though, when they don't need your attention at all times. You're a grown adult. I'm a grown adult. We have our shit to do, but let's hang out sometimes.
Constant texting doesn't happen.
Does not happen?
With this one? No, not at all. Like,
how many days a week do you get in the text thread? It's like, you know,
a full-on thread? Days a week?
Hey, 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 hey.
I mean, I would say daily we communicate to that extent, but really, like, heavy texting is not going on. Okay. We can go all day long, and then maybe it's like 10 o'clock at night. I know she goes to bed early. I'll shoot her over a, hey, you know, I thought about you today, blah, blah, blah. Hope you get some sleep. That's it.
That's,
you know,
sweet as fuck, bro.
It's just, but it's just a nice gesture. I feel like, hey, who doesn't want to be thought of? And being thought of isn't the same as being bothered with, fucking this bitch at Starbucks ruined my fucking macchiato today. Like, that's when it gets irritating. And the tension goes away. It's nice to not see someone and want them.
Yeah,
and, like,
definitely.
Really get, like, really fucking horny over a, like, five-day period and not, you know, not go off and fuck some other trash just to satiate your need, but really, like, really want someone and miss them. And, like, really have emotions, like, and imagine that, like, really have emotions and, like,
missing someone.
Miss someone is such something that I don't always let myself enjoy. And lately I've let myself enjoy missing someone, you know, like, actually, like, oh yeah, this is what it was like. And because once you do that, if that person goes away, there's going to be a void and you're going to feel sad. And you and I, Ari, we know that we don't like to feel sad.
The only
we have felt sad before. We don't want it again.
So you feel happy now with somebody?
It's not like a serious, super serious thing or anything, but it's...
No, but I mean, is there like a lack of sadness? That's a better way to put it.
I think the sadness is... I mean the sadness of when you are really, really into someone and then they go away.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you get bummed out. It hurts. I don't remember what that felt like, but that really feels like, because I haven't allowed myself to endure it. You know, I haven't opened myself up enough.
Yeah.
I haven't opened myself up.
Is this construction noises?
I don't think I've opened myself up enough to anyone.
If this sounds good when you hear it, if you do hear it, then you and Brett have got to get one of these.
Yeah.
I'm amazed sometimes with how much it can block out.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know what you mean, where I don't let that happen either. And when it does, I'm like kind of trying to push it away.
Yeah.
Where it's just, like, I don't want to get into a
thing. I don't
want to
have these feelings. These feelings just turn bad.
I don't want to throw a glass of water in somebody's face anymore.
No.
Like, you know?
Or hate myself for days on end. I don't want to ruin weeks of my life.
Yeah, being awake when you want to go to sleep, you can't stop thinking about...
You can't stop... Oh, they're probably with that guy. Oh, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Need to kill. Need to check her Instagram 20 times and her Facebook and her Twitter and her...
You know, well,
I'm going to go check her MySpace. I bet she might have been on there. I bet that dude's on her MySpace. When did she meet this guy? You know, like...
Dude, when I broke up with Natasha, I had her passwords.
Oh, no.
So unhealthy.
Oh, that's bad.
I would just be in there every
day.
You can't stop.
You can't stop yourself. It's impossible.
You cannot stop yourself.
You need to be handcuffed and put in a room.
Get off me!
You will check it.
Get off me! Yeah, you will.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. 6 hours would go by. I'm like, well, let me just check one more time.
And you just feel this release when you do it. It's like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It felt right. It's like a drug addiction.
Okay. Yeah, it is very addictive. To check your exes, social media.
Because MySpace, it was the MySpace days, and they had a thing where it was like last time logged in. Uh-huh. So I'd have to wait till she logged in that day.
Right.
So that it wouldn't become obvious.
I've never had access to that unless it was already open, I guess. And that would be kind of happenstantial, if that's a word. But did you find like agreements or convos with other dudes? Did you see that?
Yeah.
You saw like dates that she...
Yeah.
Oh, no.
God, so hard.
That's heartbreaking, and you can't stop yourself from looking at it.
Uh-uh.
It's so sad. It just kills you, and you get addicted to the pain. It's like cutting.
And these are all, like, normal things. Like, she's supposed to move. Like,
Sure.
We're not dating anymore. You're supposed to hang out with other people.
And you'd be okay with it if you were just crushing some new hot pussy, like, five times
over. But you know what I found? I still wouldn't be okay with it. And
really?
I think vice versa. You look at them and you're like, oh, they're having the time of their lives. And they might be hurting a little too here or there. But you only see.
You have to remember that. But at the same time.
Waiting for any mention of me.
Uh-huh.
Anything.
I sure do miss him. Miss it.
More likely than that. It's like, what a dipshit.
You know, or like a guy asked her out and you want a reply to be, yeah, I do it, but I'm still kind of in love with my ex. Like, you'd be like, fuck yeah. You know, that would make your whole day.
That's what you're waiting for, really.
It's what you want.
Is it wanting to cry and say, I'm so sorry, please take me back. And then you got to go, no. And then, but you want to ask again. And then you go, okay, fine now.
Do you have exes where you feel like you regret the breakup, or are you happy
regret
with everything?
It
happening? No, and still, do you still have any? You have exes where you're like, man, I wish that would have worked out.
Yeah, maybe this girl Ashley, the artist, painted that. Actually,
no, that's okay. I noticed that painting. It's really pretty.
Yeah,
spooky. I like it.
I think it's about me. She did this whole series on the masks we wear.
Uh huh.
And that was my biggest problem: the women dancing around my head.
Wow.
Yeah, that I just couldn't stop.
I guess I don't. The only thing I don't regret.
It's all right. It's not like you don't regret it. Right?
I don't necessarily wish things worked out. I sometimes wish I was a different type of person and
right.
would have been more open to some women and just not been the way I was. And I wish I was able to have a normal relationship that just made me happy. And sometimes I worry that I'm not capable of it anymore. And that's why I'm trying to be different. I'm trying my best, you know.
To change that?
Yeah, I'm trying
to
let...
You can change it, though. I bet you can, like, force of habit it and change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And, like, yeah. like create that new you.
Yeah, it's really, really difficult. And I pretty much, I'd say for the most part, have a pretty decent relationship with my exes.
Yeah.
You know? I'm friends with most of them. Like, can hang out and be buddies and mutual respect.
I'm definitely better at that now.
Yeah.
Mature in breakups.
It doesn't necessarily mean that everything is perfect all the time, but it's just a weird, it's a weird maturity thing where, and so,
what is that, just experience?
And sure. I mean, it's like, well, we're still friends. Couldn't this still be a good relationship?
Yeah.
And it's just like me. I'm like, you know what? We're friends. That's probably enough. Let's just go with what that is.
I know I have girlfriends that I broke up with like 10 years ago that there's no feelings left for it all that way.
Yeah.
That it's just like, oh, hey, how are you?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah, we did fuck. That's right.
Yeah.
You almost forget.
There's some that just completely go away. I've dated women who are not comedians who I just will never, ever see again. And maybe once in a while we'll run into just at the movies or something. You're like, oh, hey, what's your name again?
You ooh, know? Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, when you just fucked essentially for a couple months.
And right. Then, and then you can't
like
even remember
3 years
them.
Ago. And it's like, oh, wow, I forgot about that. I forgot. And, you know, that reminds me every time that I'm like, I bet that's me to a lot of women also. It's
but
like
they don't remember you.
It must be to a certain extent. You know, like yeah. My ego's not that big that I'm like, yep, she's probably missing this dick. You know, I bet there's some girls who are like, wow, remember that one? I used to fuck that drunk Mike Burns guy. Whatever happened to him, you know? And that must be true. I couldn't have, it must have been a tyrant. Yeah.
I bet there's, like, I find funny, like, that when the people don't remember the same, when it's not both, like, one person really remembers and the other person, like, doesn't.
Yeah. Remember that time? And, like,
no.
I don't know.
Yeah, or it's like, you were an important part of my life. And you're like, oh, I don't...
No, because you weren't an important part of mine.
Yeah. I barely remember this at all.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, maybe just maturity, just experience of growing up. My feeling is like, especially if you date comics at all, it's like, this is going to be a mess if I let it get weird.
And you just can't not...
Well, it's just not.
I've said so many times I will never, ever date a comedian again. And
how many times after that?
And then it happens again.
Those are your coworkers. That's who you're around.
Your coworkers, and it's fun, you know, it's...
And they get it.
It doesn't have to be a comedian for me to date, you know, but they do get it, and you have something to talk about
all the
time.
You're both off during the day.
But I also, I like to date someone who's creative. It has to be someone who works in a creative field.
Yeah.
Because, and it is better if they're not a comedian, like... You're a painter, you know.
Yeah.
You can complain. You can kind of relate to creating something and working on art, but it's not the same art or the same field. I feel like when you date a comic, it's like it's nice to stitch with each other, but it's you're taking your work home with you. Now you're talking about comedy all the time. I can tell, like the girl I'm seeing is a writer of sorts. Well, she's a writer, very talented, very smart. But when I tell her about, well, I did this at this place, you know, I didn't get booked on, you know, Cuckoo's Laugh Bird Town over on La Brea.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, you don't know what that is. or like, you know, it's the biggest, hottest comedy show in town. It's like, and I've never heard of it. And nor will she ever. It puts things in perspective.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's not that big a deal.
Important. Yeah.
They're like, I got this. This happened to be on Twitter Farm. It's this app that shows you like who's the best at Twitter games.
Really?
No, I'm making it up. But like something that you think is a big deal, and you tell them about it, and they're like, I don't really like Twitter. You know, it's like you forget.
Like, oh.
Oh yeah, I forget. A lot of people could give a fuck less. They're busy with their regular life.
I like it when you date someone out of the industry and you tell them like, oh, I just got passed at this club or something, and they're like, was that? That was important to you, right? I sort of remember that.
The only time it does suck is sometimes you want some, you want to add a boy, or you want like, you want that. Yeah, the guy I'm dating is fucking cool. He just, that's so sexy. I want to suck your dick. You did such a good job. Instead of like, I don't really know what that is. Is that good? That's my favorite response to me calling a woman that isn't familiar with comedic standards and bragging about something, and then getting the, or texting it to them, and then getting back, is that good? Question mark. You just immediately you're like, never mind.
Because you want to humble brag it too. I want to humble brag it.
Nah,
I just, you know, I got past this club, whatever. And you want them to then go, wow, way to go, man. Yeah. You're like, ah, oh, thanks. But you don't want to say like, hey, something really important happened to me. You don't want to say it.
I just straight up brag to girls that I date. I don't think it's bragging. I'm proud of the things that I.
Oh yeah.
I don't humble brag it. I just like, I did this. I wanted to do this for so long, and I get to do it, and it's super fucking cool. It's like amazing. You know, it's something I wanted for so long, and I was just fucking, you know, I brag about it. I don't give a shit. I got on this TV show. It's fucking awesome. Let's go get steaks, and I'm going to eat your ass tonight. You know, like, well, whatever.
I can guarantee you, if I got a job writing for South Park, everyone in my life would know it within a day.
And you would eat everyone's ass.
Yeah.
You would eat your own ass. You'd eat,
let me see your ass. If home, about to
whatever.
Eat
dull, suck some dicks. Like, whatever. If you got a South Park writing job, you were in a good fucking mood.
God.
But you. Like, let's say you dated someone who didn't watch TV, like one of those, like, I don't even have a TV. I don't watch any TV. They'd be like, is that good? Is South Park, what's that? Is that a news show? You know, like,
no,
it's South Park.
It's an important part of my life.
It's important.
There's all these guys here in New York, all these young comics who got, have you ever seen the show Guy Code or Girl Code?
I know.
No. I just found out about it.
They did a dad boner, article, no, Carl wrote for the Guy Code. Sean Green interviewed me for the MTV's Guy Code blog site.
Okay.
That's how I'm familiar with, and my character, Carl Wellzien, says Guy Code all the time.
Oh, really? On
you
his own?
You can pick up Carl Wellzien's book.
Oh, yeah, we definitely
Power,
have to do that.
Power Moves. And you just go to Amazon. Type
and it's
in
just
Power
written
Moves.
By Carl Wellzien. I know you don't want to talk about it, but tell people what it is.
I talk about it all the time. Yeah,
it's a little.
I based the book off of a Twitter character, and he sold it, not me. The book company actually bought it from Carl Wellzien. They never knew my name until we signed the contract.
Really?
Yeah, that was part of my stipulation. Really? I wanted it to be that real and take the joke that far in a Kaufman-esque.
Taxi style, where he's like, get me for 10 episodes and this other guy
loved
for six
it.
Episodes.
It was so entertaining, and I think it really helped sell the book to them also.
Yeah, being like real like that?
Yeah, this guy's fucking, this is something. Like, this is a weird fucking thing.
Did you see it just took a professional linguist to decipher that... that girl who wrote Harry Potter wrote those other books under a fake name.
Uh-huh.
But this guy deciphered it from her
it's
writing.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I know who wrote this. But like, everyone's like, no, the guy, John Smith. Goes, yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this guy's just a dipshit living in fucking, not rural.
Grand Blanc. He's living in a suburb of Flint, Michigan.
How much does he make a year?
He lives in his car now.
Oh.
He used to work. He used to have a pretty steady job. I'd say... he was pulling down. Yeah, I don't know what you make when you live there, but I'd say like $75,000 a year, which is a fuckload of money. And that's like after he was
there.
Let's say he worked at this job.
I've only made that much one time in my life. Yeah. 1 year in my life, I made more than $75,000.
Yeah, I mean once in a while you get lucky.
Yeah,
but a nondescript job, I'd say he made around $75,000.
And he's just you know, Scary Perry is.
Scary Perry, yes.
How close is he to Scary Perry? Because he seems kind of like, dumb about his own situation.
I never thought of that, but yes, I wouldn't say he's quite as retarded as Scary Perry. He's actually more of a Bukowski-esque character.
Okay.
He's very, very smart, and he has, just in his own way, in his
but
own
he's still
world.
Like living for the weekend.
Oh yeah, never stop.
Just
can't stop, won't stop.
Oh, he seems like he would love to be in a softball league on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like this weird mix between feeling bad for him and feeling like, oh, this guy's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
That script, bro, was awesome.
Thank you.
I'm sorry I fucked up the first line.
No, but, fine.
But I didn't have, we did three acts and I didn't have a line till the third, and I was just watching it and loving it.
Roadhouse 2013, used to be Roadhouse 2012. Roadhouse 2013, Pain Still Don't Hurt by Carl Wellesley. He just wrote that, and I put it up act by act on Craigslist.
On Craigslist?
Uh-huh. For sale.
Who wants this? Act
wants
one of Roadhouse 2013.
Here's act two. Here's act three. Here's act four. Here's the whole thing. And a lot of people, you know, that's what made Anthony Bourdain become a fan, is he loves Roadhouse, and he saw that, and it's starring Guy Fieri.
Oh, yeah.
He saw that it was on the Brazzer, which is a food blog, their food website.
I'm familiar with Brazzers.
Brazzers.
Like that?
Brazzers. No, it's not like Brazzers.
Nothing like that.
Also a fan of them. But, yeah, that's what
fuck yeah,
a lot
man.
Of that popularity came from. Wow, look at that. Looks good. Looking good.
Nice. Yeah, that was my favorite part of that script was that he wrote in audience, should be audience reaction. It was like, this is the perfect time to put your arm around a hot lady that you're with.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a script.
Yeah.
That's just an experience people are going to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has no idea about scripts.
No.
Hang on one second. You done? Are we good? Hang on, let's get back to this, but hold on a second. Let me pause it for a minute. All right, he's late. We got to go. You run back home. Mike Burns, where can they find you online?
You can find me on my personal Twitter, at PizzaNacho69, and you can follow the Carl Wellesley saga at DadBoner.
Yeah, it's right now, it's the only guy I'm following on Twitter.
Good, that's all you need.
Yeah.
That's all you need. It's the finest in Twitter.
It's just for fun. There's nothing, all the shit I feel bad about, like, hey guys, I got this coming out, trying to look at it, none of that, just jokes.
It's just the storyline. You know, and you can go back and read it from the beginning.
Bronger was talking about it too, how he'll be like, oh, I don't want to talk about it right now, but let's just say some shit happened at TGI Fridays yesterday.
Right.
And then, or Bees, Applebee's.
Uh-huh.
And then later in the day, he's like, okay, I'm ready. And then he'll start going through the whole night, like through the day. He'll tell you like what happened yesterday.
Right.
Man, I love that shit. That's fucking great, dude.
It's very, very fun.
I'm glad you're finding some success out of it too.
Yeah, that book is success enough, you know, to have that guy have his own book, which you can buy, Power Moves.
Oh, yeah. How can they get that?
You can go to, I just go to Amazon and search Power Moves. And you can go to www.carlwellzine.com, which is K-A-R-L-W-E-L-Z-E-I-N. But
search Power Moves.
Google Power Moves. It's probably Dad Boner. Dad Boner.
Man, those people are all there for a great time.
It's fucking funny, man. Brooklyn. It's a funny book, too. And they like, you know, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't.
Yeah.
If I read it and I was embarrassed by it, I wouldn't hawk it.
You wouldn't go out of your way to be doing interviews. You might do
absolutely
one like,
not.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
Right.
You're like me.
But no, it's really good. And like, even my parents love it. You know, they laugh out loud
at
it.
That's cool. Every once in a while somebody asks me, like, how come you didn't promote that thing? And I can't say it, but it's like, because it was awful.
Right.
And I just don't feel comfortable getting my word behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, when you have to do promo stand-up or something, it's like, I didn't retweet it because I don't ever want anyone to see that I did that, but I needed the $200 thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Thanks, Burns.
Thank you, guys. Good to see you here.
Yeah, no problem. I hope you sell a billion copies of that shit.
Me too.
Awesome. All right. Have fun on the way to the airport.
Thanks, bye.
There you go. That's the episode, everybody. There you go. I watched that show, and it was really good. What's it called? NTSF-SD-SUV. I watched the season premiere. That was last week. This week's is on Thursday night at midnight, or 12:30, right at the Children's Hospital at midnight. But it was really good. They had an escape. They had arrested all the convicts from Comic-Con. These are just nerd shows. They arrested all the convicts from Comic-Con. That chick who played, who was in Firefly and who played Terminator, the new Terminator on the TV show, Summer Glau. She played a fake nerd who seduces guys through her use of horn-rimmed glasses. There was another guy who was called the spoiler. he was the world's leading movie spoiler. And then the girl was checking them in, was like, "Oh, it sounds tough." And he goes, "Want to hear how the Justice League of America movie ends?" And she goes, "But they haven't even shot that yet." And he goes, "That's how good I am." So stupid. And Brandon Johnson was in it. I didn't know he was in it. I guess he's in every week. All right. So, yeah. So, watch it, everybody. Adult Swim, Midnights at 12 a.m. No, that is what midnight is. The Thursday night, tune in at midnight for Children's Hospital and NTSVU. Anyway. They're both really funny shows, and I like cool sponsors like Adult Swim, so fucking tune in. All right, well, thank you very much, Mike Burns. Everybody, please get the book. However you get books, whether or not you steal them from bookstores, do bookstores still exist? You guys, in my day, we had this thing called bookstores, where you could go into a store and buy coffee, and read a book on the floor before buying it. And then put it back on the shelf. You could read it for a good hour and a half. It was a cool place. I don't know if they exist anymore, but if they do, please get the new Dad Boner book by Carl Wellzane. So that's it. Indianapolis. I'll be there this week, so looking forward to it. Oh, by the way, you guys, this month, July, it hasn't happened yet. It's like a little bit off, but it looks like this will be the most downloaded month of podcasts that I've had. And so far, this will be the fifth podcast, I guess. Usually it's only four. But even at four, it still would break that if we had the whole... I guess it's been like... It's been four full weeks. Okay, I get it. 28 days, four full episodes. But yeah, so thank you guys very much for tuning in and for telling people and for subscribing on Stitcher, on iTunes, on your Android phones. I don't know how you subscribe on those. Or people who go to the site, arishafir.com, or on SoundCloud. Thank you guys for tuning in, subscribing, and listening and enjoying this. I don't know. That's cool. The most downloads I've ever had this month. That's just sort of a step back moment and go awesome. I mean, I stopped looking at those rankings on iTunes because there was such a weird algorithm set up. Once I saw her podcast at number one, I think I'd already stopped looking at the rankings before then, because you know how my feeling is. I don't like to compare. It doesn't matter. I feel it doesn't matter if I'm number 10 one week and someone else is number 11, and then they become number 9 and I stay at number 10, or they become 10 and I go 11, and I'm like, oh, I dropped the ranking. But if my downloads went up 5%, then who cares if theirs went up 20%? I should just concentrate on mine going up 5%. So I stopped listening to the ratings. But then when I really stopped watching them is when Chelsea Peretti, her podcast, which I haven't listened to, but I'm sure it's good. I don't listen to any podcasts. But when her podcast was number one on iTunes, and I was like, wow. And then I looked, and how many episodes she had released? Zero. She was number one on iTunes with zero downloads. So I was like, something's amiss with this rating system. So I just stopped caring at all. But most downloads, I'll stop and take a moment and be like, all right, fuck yeah, me. And take a moment to appreciate it. So thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget Indianapolis and then Nashville next month at the Punchline. Is that what it's called? I think it's called that. No, it's Zanies. I knew it was a line. It's Zanies in Nashville. Anyway, go to my website. They have it. You'll see Crackers in Indianapolis, Nashville Zanies, Madison, Wisconsin, Calgary, and then September is Cobbs in San Francisco. Is that my next big gig? Yeah, I guess so, after that. All right, so that's it, everybody. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, a rat ran into my fucking foot. Nah, I'll talk about it later. It was really gross, though. I was walking along. I like walking home from the Comedy Cellar late at night. Not really getting spots at the Comedy Cellar yet. Hopefully, if everyone comes to the Storyteller Show on August 27th and we fill it up, then they'll be like, oh, we can use them. My plan was this last week that when the lady asked who does the She does all the booking and stuff. She also takes tickets and stuff. She's what Mitzi used to be. She's really hands-on with that club, and she's cool, but I know, like, you got to get in there a little more. So I just want to, like, be outside and wait for people to, like, recognize me and ask to take a picture in front of her so she can be like, oh, a lot of these guys don't know what internet fame, whatever, what C-level internet famous is, that it's just as good as like, D-level movie famous and TV famous. So hopefully I'll start getting spots there. But I go hang out there late at night and talk to Attell and Metzger and Big J and whoever else, Keith Robinson, and whoever else already. And then I walk home. It's like a 25-minute walk in the summer. It's awesome. And I was walking home, and my foot, this fucking rat went right into my foot. Usually it's gross enough that you can be like, ew, there's rats, and avoid it, or walk in the middle of the street because that's the most amount of space between a gutter or a flower bed or a trash bed and the wall. Where do they hide during the day? Maybe sewers. But they all come out. And I was walking along, I was texting by Tompkins Square Park, and this rat fucking ran across. And it ran right into my foot. It was so gross. It was so gross. Ew. It was like a thud. And I freaked out. I high-stepped to get out of there like Deion Sanders running a touchdown on an INT. I was like, I just didn't want my foot to be on the ground. I was so nervous of this rat crawling up my pants. And I had just seen the Game of Thrones where they do that. That's their torture method of they put a rat in a metal trash can and attach it to a guy's stomach, like lift up his shirt and put the open end. And then they set fire. They put fire underneath the trash can so it gets hot, and the rat tries to claw its way out, and it can't claw its way out through the top of the trash can where it's hot, so it claws its way out through the other side, which is human skin. So I was a little worried about that. Ew, I don't know how to justify why I'm worried about a rat touching me. Ugh, the city. It's cool, but there's certain things that are so disgusting. A rat touched me. Didn't touch my skin. It just touched the shoe, but... All right, you guys, that's the episode. Go. I gotta do something about that. What am I gonna do? I can't have rat repellent on my shoes. Ew, it went right into my foot. There was another time, it was daytime, I was talking to Claire Tidham on the phone, and I had flip-flops on, just getting some sun during the day. This rat ran right across and right at me, and I lifted up my feet and went right underneath where I was. Would he have hit my feet? Can rats not see human feet? Are they blind to human feet? IKEA's coming. Do I have to hide my weed paraphernalia before they come? Maybe I do. Not because I think they'll be offended by weed, but people who deliver stuff are more likely to steal my pot paraphernalia. I would. If I was delivering shit and setting shit up for IKEA, I'd grab a fucking cool pipe if I saw one on the table, put it in my pocket, with the guy seeing me. He won't know till I'm gone. And what's he going to do? Call to complain that fucking he lost a pipe? Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Don't forget to get the Skeptic Tank t-shirt. Show your colors. It's on white, on a crisp American Apparel white. If you've never worn American Apparel shirts, they're cooler. They run thinner, more slender, I should say, and they feel so much more comfortable. Those Gildan shirts are sucky. They're just rough. They're fine for, like, look, I have a shirt, but not fine if you actually – they don't look good. American Apparel looks good and it feels good. Why am I justifying it? Because I want to justify myself spending $3 extra a shirt. $3 per shirt. JR was like, can you please not print on American Apparel if you're going to do an 8-color goddamn shirt? That girl Monica, she made a cool design. I wanted to use it. I like making cool designs. And speaking of, it's time to start thinking about the 2014 shirt. Now you can also get a 2013 shirt and the leftovers, like boys. If you're a girl, you can get a boys small. The Skeptic Tank t-shirts are available in girl sizes too, because JR told me, who does the merch, he was like, girl sizes fit different. They're not just the same size as a men's small. A woman's large is not the same. I mean, it's pretty much the same size, but it's cut different. Chicks have tits, man. And I was like, oh, yeah. I like that. So they have girl sizes too, and if you pre-order them, then we'll always have them in stock because he hasn't. He's probably already printing them now. But 2 more days until no free stickers with the pre-order. So, and they all go out August 1st. So get your colors. where you represent your shit to other comedy shows. I love, that's my, one of my favorite parts about Comedy Nerds now, is that everybody shows up with their fucking team jerseys, with their Duncan Trussell Family Hour shirts, and their Brody Stevens shirts, and the new Tony Hinchcliffe shirt. Tony Hinchcliffe has a shirt now, Tony the One Man Pony. Everybody's got their shirts, and it's like the comedy fans' way of going, like, nerding out and be like, this is who I rep when you go to shows and stuff and go to live podcasts, wherever you're on the road. It's cool. I love it. Even if you don't wear mine, I fucking love it. The Kreischer shirt, the fucking Death Squad shirts, the Rogan shirts. I think they're cool. Your mom's house has some cool – anyway, and I'm addicted to really cool designs, so – usually that takes a lot of colors. But if you're going to design, whoever just does it for the year. And what I do is I wait, I name somebody a winner, and then once I start making money, I pay them. I kick them some, because my feeling is everyone deserves. Once money comes in, everyone deserves some. Who helped? So help me make a t-shirt. I can't pay you, but if it's cool and it starts selling a lot, I will pay you. I'll give you some cash. Not a lot, but a few $100. Yeah, so I'm looking for something for 2014. I had that Iron Maiden fucking... I'm not a huge Maiden fan, but I am a fan of the way that they go, this shirt lasts for a year and then it's done. The Skeptic Tank shirt will last longer. But the tour shirts, 1 year and out. So I'm looking for a cool design for 2014. So all the artists, if you're out there... I mean, I really don't know. I don't know what it should look like. It could be anything. And just have in some way relate to me, or either through just the name. My ideal, when I started thinking about it, was the Flaming Lips t-shirt called Be Kind to Animals. So if you look up Be Kind to Animals, Flaming Lips, you'll see it. It's just a weird picture that the lead singer made. It's this dog with this weird cutout of eyes. Let me look this up right now so I can tell you. Be kind to animals. Be kind. No? Be kind to animals. Be kind to animals, Flaming Lips. Boom. Oh, come on. Why does it take up Google again? It should just go right there. Ugh. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, I have one of these shirts. Me and Jeff Ross each got one. It's this dog with a rainbow over his head, and over the rainbow says the Flaming Lips, and underneath it says be kind to animals. It has very little to do with the Flaming Lips, but it does. So something like that. I think those are cool. And how many colors is that? 1, 2, 3, 4. White is 5. 5 on a cool blue shirt. So yeah, if you guys make something red, and if I don't use it, I'll fucking post them on Twitter. If they're decent, you know. Maybe I'll make a sticker out of them too. Who knows? But, or buttons. I don't know. So thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for making this July the most downloaded month in Skeptic Tank history. Don't forget to tune in to the, what a horrible burp, to the Storyteller Shows. Joey Diaz is out this past week. It's on right now. New ones come out every Tuesday for the next 4 or 5 weeks. And the live show is next in New York on August 27th. Check my website soon or my Twitter. I'll put out links, and I'll definitely put out a link on next week's podcast page. And I'll tell you more of like who the lineup's going to be, as me and Bobby Kelly, Robert Kelly's will be one. So far it'll be good. And it's going to be fight stories. It's going to be called This Is Not Happening Presents Fisticuffs, all fight stories. And that might be, if we do another one on Comedy Central, that might be the theme we do, at least for one of the shows. So, thank you for tuning in, everybody. Thank you, Mike Burns, Pizza Nachos 99 or 69 on Twitter, Pizza Nachos 69, Dad Boner on Twitter for Carl Wellzine. And that's it. I'm going to see Ren Azizi tonight. That'll be fun with his wife and Tracy and the Barnes brothers. And all right, I'm excited about going back on the road again. This has been really cool in New York. I told my agent, I told him to leave me here for a month. Really, don't bother me here. I mean, not talking and stuff. We're still friends, but like, let me get in here. And it's been pretty cool. I do half my sets as a stand. I did Hannibal's Burris' show at the Knitting Factory last night. Probably one of the best shows in Los Angeles. Free show in Brooklyn at the Knitting Factory. And it's so fucking cool. It's so down. Joe Matarese was there last night. He goes, do we tell them? Do we tell the crowd how much better they are than normal crowds? I was like, I don't know. And he did. And he killed. Yeah, it's been really fucking rad getting in here, doing a different scene, doing a shitload of spots. I mean, I did 4 spots on Thursday. 5 on Saturday. 2 on Friday. It's just like I'm doing a shitload of spots. I'm working out material. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I've left some bits that are sort of more complete. I've left them in the dust for a little while I work in this other bits. The TSA stuff. Some of the God stuff. I've got like, I shit on my material a lot. But I've got like 2 bits that I think are like, fuck yeah. Those are good hardcore bits, but they're not done yet. I saw George Carlin. He did an entire month. I think it might have been June or July. I think it might have been July at the Comedy Store. Did Thursday, 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. Every Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the main room. And they let him have the room. No opener. I worked the door. I remember giving him a Greenblatt's deli sandwich. And the Comedy Store is like, back then they were smart. And they were like, yeah, we'll just get him. It's George Carlin. We'll just pay for him. And so they got it, like, all right, go get him this pastrami sandwich, whatever it was. And I got it for him, and I brought it to him, and he gave me $20. I was like, oh, no, Mr. Carlin, it's... And he wouldn't let anybody call him Mr. Carlin. I mean, that was a down-to-earth guy. That was a down-to-earth dude. I mean, everybody else, every celebrity tries to be like, oh, I'm down-to-earth, but nah. He was. He sat in the back once and told Jeff Danis from Boner City, USA, he told him... He was like, he was hosting the potluck. And he goes, hey, man, that's really funny. And I mean, if you get a, that was really funny. If you get an attaboy from fucking George Carlin, God damn it. I mean, wow. But he gave me this $20. And I was, oh, no, Mr. Carlin, George. Oh, no, George. The Comedy Store paid for it. You don't, it's not necessary. And he was like, yeah, I know, man, this is for you. And at that time, $20, dude. I mean, my night was 25. Working the door, you get 25. So that's a night's pay. Even if I'm doing the booth and getting fucking $6.75 an hour, which it was at the time, the phones were $6.15. The booth was a raise at $6.25. It's more important, I guess. It's still only fucking $40 a night. God, I worked hard. $20 is awesome. Thank you, George Carlin. I'm remembering that now. Thank you very much. I really needed that $20, and it felt cool to get it from you. Why was I talking about George Carlin? Why? Oh, because I got to work out for a month, and it felt really cool. I had to get some bits done. So I'll be in Indianapolis. There'll be a few bits that are like not quite worked out enough. No, I wouldn't say that. I'll say on Wednesday there'll be a little. We'll see. They'll be fresh. So that either results in them being really interesting and me riffing and having a great old time, or me not knowing all the lines. I guess I won't get high before my first set on Wednesday. That's what I'll do, so I remember it. And Indianapolis has this really cool club owner called Ruth Ann. And Ruth Ann is an old school club owner. She's owned that club for fucking 80 years. And we got into a fight last time. I was there. I did the downtown club. And she goes, you can't do an hour. Do 45. And I'm like, no, I do an hour. That's what I do for comedy crowds. I do an hour. When they're there to see me, I do an hour. In town, in New York and LA, I'll do the 12 or 15, whatever they give me. I'm doing an hour on the road. If I'm headlining, I'm doing an hour. That's what Rogan taught me. That's one of the things he taught me. I'm doing an hour for these people. Some people do a lot more. I think in hours, 45 is the minimum, the industry standard minimum. I'm not doing less than that. But I'm not an industry standard comic. I have people coming to see me. I'm not just filling a time. So we got into a huge fight in the kitchen last time. She goes, you can't fucking do an hour. I'm like, these people are here to see me, Ruth Ann. She goes, no, bullshit. You want me to fire the MC? It's 15, 30, 45. That's how it goes. And my theory is, no, that's how it went. But times are different now. And I'm a comedian who has never been on television who can pull his own crowd in. And she goes, no one's here to see you. I'm like, there are 15 people outside waiting to say goodbye to me, to take pictures. By the way, I'll have 2013 tour shirts, a few CDs, and some grinders, which I only sell on the road, some Ari Shaffir spice grinders. I'm like, the people are here to see me, and I'm giving them an hour. And she goes, well, on Friday and Saturday nights at midnight, the show next door starts blasting music, so we can't hear. I'm like, well, it'll only affect me. It won't affect the MC. She goes, no, it affects the show. so you got to cut it short. I'm like, okay, well, then Thursday I can go an hour. And she goes, no. And I'm like, well, then that's not the case because of the fucking noise. I'm doing an hour. She gets it now. I tell the wait staff, I'm not doing 45. So drop checks 15 minutes later. And why is anyone dropping checks? Judah Freeletter started a petition online in the checks drops, in the check drop spot. It's 15 minutes, 20 minutes before the end of a show. All the wait staff drops checks. So everybody looks at their checks instead of paying attention for like 5 minutes. In New York, at the stand, they do it after shows. It's great. Take an extra 3 minutes. It's not that hard. Take an extra 7 minutes. It's not that hard. But most comedy clubs on the road, they do it during the show. So I'm like, do that 15 minutes later. You can sell more. So I'll be doing an hour at Crackers Comedy in Indianapolis starting on Wednesday night. So come see me at all those places. See everything. All right, you guys. Jesus, a 21-minute outro for no reason. All right, I'll load this up right now. Hope you guys are enjoying these. Goodbye. Wait, have I said everything? I'm going to pause for a second. Yeah, I think I have. Oh, well, what I wanted to say about being in town for a month is that I got to push this TSA joke and, like, the stuff that wasn't getting the best response. When I saw Rogan do, has he done the baby blowjob stuff on a special? He has, right? On his last special? If he hasn't, if you've seen it live, you're lucky. If you haven't seen it live, you're unlucky. Because it's an awesome bit, and it started with bombing. And I don't say that lightly. Joe Rogan is a great comedian. And he's been doing it for 25 years. And once you've been doing it a certain amount of time, you know how to not bomb. You know how to, like, not pander through a joke, but give looks. Or we all have our, not our tricks, but our ways of making people laugh. And we can go to those ways. We can't overuse them, but we can go to them. And so sometimes we have to use them a lot in a bit to get some laughs. And he would have to do that for this bit, and it still wouldn't go that well. It was a harsh joke. And then slowly but surely, he started getting more and more laughs off it. And people started relaxing a little bit. People stopped walking out. People would walk out during that joke, mothers usually. And then they stopped walking, and they started laughing harder. And then it would just start killing. And then it would consistently kill. And then he got so much joy out of building this thing. It's fun to do a good bit. Like that Sydney Harbor Bridge joke at the end of my Revenge for the Holocaust CD. By the way, the records are out. You can get them now. There's still a few left at chill.com. You can get them with a passive aggressive special, all different material. Yeah, the vinyl is cool because it's really good art on it too. But yeah, that's the closing bit. That bit was good within a month. It was like closing my sets within a month. That's how good it was. The baby blowjob joke, not as much. This TSA stuff, it's a struggle sometimes. And I really needed that month in town to fucking work it out. I know only comedians are listening now, but there's some joy to be able to work through stuff. To be like, I have to solve this problem. That's what art is a lot to me. Is just figuring out how to do this, how to present my point of view, and how to do it by my art, whether that's painting, whether that's directing a movie, or for me, doing stand-up comedy. That's my art form. Those are my paintbrushes. And once I can figure out how to make that a beautiful painting, which means how to kill with it, oh, it'll be fucking good the more I struggle, and this bit will be good. So I have a few bits like that, and then I've got like another 5 or 6 months left until I got to record again. I have a plan for where I want to record. I briefly told someone at Comedy Central what I want to do for my next special. I have two thoughts, but one is going to be way too expensive, and the other will not be, and I think it'll be cool as fuck. So whatever, whoever I do it with, that's how I'll do it. Maybe chill again. That was a success. All right, you guys. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 125, Dad Boner, in the books. Goodbye.